Hey everyone, this is Judy with Altium's On Track podcast. Thanks for joining again. I have two amazing guests hailing all the way from Finland today, and I look forward to sharing them with you. Before then, I ask you to please connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter. I'm at Altium Judy, and Altium is on all the traditional social media channels, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. So today we have a look into the future of technology with TactoTech, and I have two wonderful guests, Sini Ritki and Tuomas Hikula. So we've been working here at Altium closely with Sini and Tuomas and their whole team there, and we're excited to show you kind of this cutting edge technology and this amazing things that they're doing in Finland to advance a whole litany of advanced electronics manufacturing and technology. And while we continue to work feverishly on AD19 and getting in the traditional functions that you would like, I wanted to give you a sneak peek on something we're working for the future. This is not going to be an AD19, but we continue to work together sort of on a research kind of function with these two and all of TactoTech. So I'm excited for you to learn more about them. So let's get started. Sini, Tuomas, welcome.
Thank you, Judy, for having us here.
Thank you.
So Sini, I think I'm going to start with you. Can you tell us a little, well, before we get going, why don't you both introduce yourselves and tell us your background in the industry and what exactly your role entails at TactoTech.
Sure. So my name is Sini Ritki, and I'm heading the product management at TactoTech. In practice, it means that my team is responsible for technology productization and road mapping and go-to-market strategy and planning, and also technology partnership development. My personal background, I am a software major, but spent about 20 years in mostly hardware-driven business in electronics manufacturing and test automation in consumer electronics and automotive industries. This is my first podcast ever. I'm very excited Yay! To see how it turns out. Yay!
How about you, Tuomas?
Okay, so my name is Tuomas Heikkilä, and I'm senior hardware specialist, and I have worked for TactoTech almost 6 years now. All of this time I have designed and developed IMSC technology from electronics point of view. So my background, I have worked also in mobile phone industry before joining TactoTech.
So along those lines, Tuomas, can you tell us about, for those that aren't familiar, what the acronym IMSE means?
So IMSE means injected molded structural electronics.
Very good, because I know we'll be using that term a lot. And because you guys are sort of cutting edge, I thought there's maybe some people in the audience that might not be familiar with that term. So Sini, let's just jump right in. Can you talk about, I'm asking you three really big things, the technology, the market, and really the problems it solves for technologists in the marketplace.
Sure. To start off with the technology, like Tuomas said, our technology is called injection molded structural electronics, which we call IMSE. To put it simply in one sentence, we are integrating electronics inside three-dimensional plastics. And as a result, we can create smart surfaces with electronic functionality such as capacitive touch functions, illuminated icons, and wireless connectivity such as Bluetooth and near-field communication. So when we look at traditional electromechanics assembly, they typically consist of one or multi PCB structure along with the surrounding mechanics. And from design point of view, the challenge is that many times it is restricted with, for example, dimensional constraints or space limitations or weight limitations. And then from manufacturing point of view, they typically have a large number of individual toolings and assembly phases. So with IMSC, we can both solve many of the problems for traditional electronics and mechanics, but we can also create totally new use cases and integrate electronics in places where traditional electronics and mechanics fail to do so. So if we just briefly visit our process, so we start by printing colored and conductive inks on flexible films, and continue by mounting surface-mounted electronic components, and continue by forming that film along with the components into a three-dimensional shape, and then finally we injection mold all of that into a single-piece assembly. So when we look at the benefits, the IMSC part structure, if we compare it with traditional electronics and mechanics, we can save up to, I'd say, 90% of the assembly depth. And wow. Save up to, yeah, that's a big number.
That's a big number.
Yeah, and up to 80% of the part weight. And at the same time, of course, we're enabling beautiful, seamless, smart surfaces. Mm-hmm. And we can create, we talk a lot about point of use at Tactotech. And by that, we mean that IMSC enables intuitive user interfaces. So no longer do we have to have a complex HMI with all of the centralized functions, but we can create point of use functionalities. So for example, integrating capacitive touch-enabled volume control on top of speaker modules. So yeah. Those are some of the, let's say, challenges and benefits that we've seen. And then when we look at the market, so obviously this is a cross-industry technology. So mm-hmm. We see a lot of benefits from various industries. A very common application for IMSC is a human-machine interface. And we are currently working, for example, with automotive segment, mm-hmm. creating, for example, door trims and overhead control panels, appliances control panels, and we also work quite a lot with wearables. So creating electronics in textiles. Yeah, and that's actually...
Didn't know you were doing wearables, or that had escaped me in previous conversations. That's amazing.
Yes. Yeah. So the fact actually that we are injection molding everything into a single part assembly, it also means that it's fully capsulated, which means it's protected from debris and moisture.
Oh.
So definitely when you think about... Mm-hmm. Electronics in fabrics, our structures are what we call wash and go. So they can, they are very durable and they can withstand like dozens of cycles in washing machines.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And then maybe a couple of words about the business model. So we are licensing our technology for IMSC design, manufacturing, and validation. Mm-hmm. Which means that our customers, they can both benefit from the possibilities that IMSC creates in product design, but they can also enhance the vertical integration in a way that they can perform functions that were previously outsourced and further extend their offering for customers.
That's unbelievable, and my mind is just spinning with the kind of enablers that I can see that this is going to bring over time. So thank you for sharing all that. On a more practical level, Thomas, and you know, the people who are listening to this podcast are typically engineers and printed circuit board designers. Can you talk a little bit about the kind of practical effects on PCB designers and the implications they would have from a design standpoint in designing what you're calling smart structures.
Yes, so if we first compare traditional PCB design and IMSC design, there are few main differences which comes from materials that we are using in IMSC technology and also the 3D shape. So if we first consider those materials, so the substrate of printed film circuitry is totally different. So in IMSC technology, we have quite large but thin plastic film.
Mm-hmm.
And if we compare this for rigid PCB, so there is big difference.
Yeah.
Another thing is trace resistance. So when we are printing traces using silver inks, there is always some resistance.
Mm-hmm.
So we can never think that this resistance is zero.
Right.
So we have to always consider this in our design.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it depends on the used ink, but typically the resistance difference between printed silver ink trays and PCB solid copper trays
mm-hmm.
is roughly 100 times bigger. So there is huge difference in resistances as well.
Okay.
The third, which is really related to materials, is dielectric.
Mm-hmm.
In PCBs, there is no need to design especially dielectrics between two conductive traces. But in IMSC design, we need always design dielectric layer between two conductive layers. And also, as I earlier mentioned, this 3D surface, I would like to highlight this as well, because it means that when the final shape of the product is some kind of curved 3D shape,
uh-huh.
So this means that the printed circuit need to design a bit different way than in PCBs.
So I'm going to ask you more about those materials in a minute, but I was really impressed when I first saw it. I really thought it was a one or two-sided only circuit structure, and I'm really impressed to find out that, no, it can be multi-layer and, like you said, Sini, completely encapsulated. So that opens up a lot of opportunities, I think. So, Sini, can you talk more specifically about the materials that are used for structural electronics? I know Thomas just mentioned the silver inks, the dielectric materials, that you can do multi-layers. Just the materials overall are really different. So can you talk a little bit about those, please?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And I would say the key essence of our technology is really the know-how and understanding of not just the individual materials, but the full material stack-ups. So okay. We need to, first of all, we need to obviously understand how all the elements perform together, like the films, the inks, the components, and so forth. And
wasn't complicated yes. enough on traditional
yes.
boards.
Yes, yes. So it all has to work in synergy. And it's, of course, it's like one thing to understand how they perform when they are in 2D. But in our case, we are then also bending and stretching everything into that three-dimensional shape. So that process as a whole has a huge effect on the material characteristics and performance values, like Thomas mentioned before. For example, the conductive ink resistance changes over the manufacturing period. So it's a big pile of materials research and chemistry as a whole that we have done to understand the behavior of different material stackups. So we, of course, we try to be on top of what works together and, of course, what doesn't. So,
and so do you publish those, or will you be publishing those in the form of, say, data sheets? So when a PCB designer might move into this space, that they'd have some guidelines?
Yes. So obviously the material stacks are one element of our licensing content. So we are able to provide our customers with validated and functional material stacks that they can use to just start building products.
How long have you been at this? Because I know coming when you work with materials and that is a long, arduous process. It takes a lot of discipline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we've been around since 2011, and we've used a lot of time and effort for exactly materials research and creating the validation processes. So now we're in 2018, and we are mass manufacturable, so it takes time.
Yes, it sure does. Time. Yeah, when I've talked to friends that are chemists, it just takes a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So back to you, Thomas. With all those different materials, and you mentioned also embedded components. So I would like our audience to learn more about the implications, which you began to talk about with the printed inks, the silver inks and whatnot. But what are some other implications of those different materials, and what kind of components? Because you're really talking about embedded components here, I take it. So help us understand that a little bit more.
So like Sini said, understanding materials and material stacks, those are very important. So as I earlier said, this trace resistance, for example, it is a big thing. Also, another example is this flexible film, which has big impact to SMD process, for example. So typically we are using small SMD components like LEDs, resistors, diodes, transistors.
Traditional?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Traditional off-the-shelf components.
Okay.
But when we are selecting components in our IMC products, the key element is the height of the component. So the component should fit inside the product. It's the first thing. The second thing is that when we are injection molding the product, the melted plastic flows over the component.
Yeah.
So the component should stand this injection molding, and yes, the thinner component, the better.
Okay, so, and I'm certain that you have to take in consideration the thermal implications of what kind of thermal conditions those components can survive in.
Yes, we have considered also this.
So for our listeners, I just want to let you know, we're going to connect all kinds of links and pictures, because if you're like me, you need some visuals to really understand. Mm. This is sort of hard to, in the form of a podcast, it's a little difficult to talk about. But again, I want to remind our listeners that we are recording simultaneously on YouTube, and also we're not showing visuals here, but we will put a myriad of links and photos, because if you're like me, you need pictures. Okay, so
actually we have a white paper regarding this.
Okay, and will you share that with us, Thomas? Okay, great.
Yes.
Okay.
This document is in our web page.
Okay, great.
So we can share the link. Of course.
Wonderful. And the other thing that I wasn't clear about is, so you do the printed portion of the process, and then you mold. It's not like you're creating it on a 3D surface, right? Or does it go both ways?
So we first print, then we, this is 2D, then we place the components, SMD process. After that, it's forming process. The film takes its 3D shape. And after that comes injection molding.
This is actually the reason why we are doing this, is that we want to enable our customers to use just standard electronics manufacturing equipment. So when we are placing the components in 2D, it means that we don't have to have anything like 3D pick and place or anything like that. So
yeah,
we can use standard PCB manufacturing equipment.
And then you mold, which seems so counterintuitive. I don't know how you guys are doing it. I think you're magicians. So
you have to come and see it.
I know. Well, I'm...
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, also I'd like to let our listeners know that I'm delighted that... Sini and TactoTech have agreed to come be a sponsor at Altium Live. They will have a booth there. They will have physical samples, and you'll be able to see this. And if, again, like if you're like me, I think this all of a sudden aha moment, you know, happens when you can physically see, or like Tuama said, read a white paper and you have some kind of visual representation of what's happening, and you will gasp. It's really incredible to watch. So I invite you always to come to Altium Live in San Diego or Munich and see them there. So let's jump into how Altium and TactoTech had the good fortune to come together. Sini, you started to talk about a challenge you guys had to face, in that there was a gap in the design tools to support your technology. So our team have been working with you for a while. So can you tell us sort of what that process has been like and sort of how we've been working together?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think for us, how we have worked so far is that obviously we have a lot of design disciplines that contribute to the IMSC structure, mm-hmm. Not just electronics and mechanics, but also graphics design, antenna design, and illumination design. So all of those different design elements have to work in perfect synergy, because we don't have those separate structures, but we only have that film, and everything is on top of that one or two films.
Mm-hmm.
So the element what we have been missing so far in the design tools is the support of design for IMSC type of parts. So we've been using Altium Designer for years for electronics design, but we've been manipulating the tool, which is meant for PCB design.
Right.
And we are using familiar functions for something else.
Right.
So today we are not just using the tool anymore, but we've been very happy to start really working with Altium and doing research on specific features and automation we could integrate in the tools in the future to enable more efficient design process for IMSC and printed electronics as a whole.
Which is so exciting to me. So if I understand you correctly, then we're really starting to develop design rules for a whole new technology.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And in that way, obviously shortening the learning curve for new technology and bringing it to the hands of the actual end users, the designers of the products.
Well, so I really love that you guys are using traditional mainstream tools like Altium Designer. So designers, mm-hmm. their ramp up on this technology can be quicker, and just using kind of some familiar things like a 2D manufacturing process. So there's not this whole giant, you know, there's not 20 obstacles in the way, and such a learning curve and such a huge investment, change of equipment. You've really been really thoughtful in integrating existing technology, but then tweaking it.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is really exciting. Thomas, because you've been specifically on the hardware side, I look at you sort of the voice of our audience. Can you talk about some specific examples in regards to things like stack up, DRCs? Like, can you give us some, you know, kind of down and dirty, you know, where the rubber meets the road sort of examples of how that's fleshing out?
Yes, yes. So if I first start with this stack up, so currently we are using PCB layer stack up in our designs, which is not, it's not real in IMSC. And this wrong stack up, this cause challenges and generates a lot of more work when we are transferring design files between EGAT and, for example, in simulator tool.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have a tool where we can define IMSC stack up as it is in real product, it makes the design process even faster.
Right.
Second thing is this dielectrics. So at the moment, we are designing and checking dielectrics manually. So it's time consuming, and very easily there were still missing dielectrics in certain places, and this caused failures during our production. This is very, very critical. So if the tool has, for example, a dielectric generator,
mm-hmm.
which check the position for each dielectric and then place it according to user definitions. So this make design even faster and also makes the production more easier for us because there were no failures anymore.
Along those lines, so from inside of the tool, will a designer actually have helps to help them choose specific dielectric, or is that something they'll need to know ahead of time? And then those dielectric constraints will be inside the tool. Or do we know yet?
No, we don't know yet.
Okay. That's a good answer. That's okay. You know, I really see from my perspective in the industry, this tighter and the lines between mechanical, you know, ECAD, MCAD, all the different design disciplines, the lines are just blurring. And mm-hmm. I think that's never more true than with your technology. I think you mm-hmm. made the lines disappear, which is exciting and so enabling. Is there anything you wanted to say about that, Sini, just about the different disciplines or specific challenges that may come into play because you're bringing all of these things into play?
Yeah, I think one very good example, and Tuomas, I'm sure you are more familiar with that, is, for example, a simple file transfer. So we need to be able to, first of all, in IMSC, we have to be able to convert first a three-dimensional shape into a two-dimensional form, then design electronics layout, then convert back to three-dimensional format. And during all of those processes, we need to have a file transfer mechanism that actually works in between the tools. Right. So yeah, like you said, the lines are blurring, mm-hmm. and we're excited to see how we can help in enabling this in the tools.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm very excited to show. Well, before we wrap up, is there anything I might have missed? I think that, thank you both for this interesting conversation, and I'll be sure to share your white paper and any links you'd like to share. Is there anything I may have missed just because of my own ignorance, neglected to ask either of you about today?
I don't think so. Not from my side. What do you think, Thomas?
No, not from my side as well.
Okay. Well, please be sure to share as many links as you can, you guys. And again, I want to encourage our listeners to look. This is one set of show notes you're going to want to look into and click through and see really where the future of technology is going. It's very exciting. And as I say, we continue to develop our pedestrian day, you know, things like high speed stack up, things like that within Altium Designer 19. But in the future, we hope to be able to offer this enabling technology in a future release of Altium Designer. So thank you both for your partnership and working together. It's been a delight. And I also invite you again to join us at Altium Live, either in San Diego or Europe. TactoTech will be in both locations, and you'll be able to get your hands on it and see and touch this amazing technology. It's really going to blow your mind. So thank you, Sini. Thank you, Thomas. I really appreciate you. Welcome to podcast land.
Thank you, Judy. It was very exciting.
It's been a delight to have you. And thank you, because I know you guys are, our hours between here and Finland are a little different. So thank you for accommodating our time frame today. So thank you again for listening to the On Track podcast. We appreciate you so very much. Join us again next time. Until then, remember to always stay on track.